Well, I'll tell you what, Hansi, my first question for you today is, what is Blind Guardian doing? What do you guys currently have going on? And talk about the current happenings with the band.
Well, as usual, we try to be very busy, and we're successful in it. We have composed a good bunch of songs for the next regular Blind Guardian album. I personally would believe that there either will be a release in the second half of 2014 or in the first days of 2015 with regard to a regular Blind Guardian album. Plus, in the meanwhile, we also work on the longest term project ever, the orchestral album, and this is making good progress as well. So basically, that's what we're doing here.
Now, talk a little bit about the orchestra album. Maybe give us some details about how that whole project is going for you.
Well, we've started working on it around the same time when we did the last interview, like 15 years ago, 16 years ago, mm-hmm. and it was some material which we came along with when we did the Nightfall songwriting, and we just figured that these orchestral tunes would be something very special, and we felt that they not necessarily would have fitted in the Nightfall album in terms of the musical direction the album took back then, and therefore we kept the songs, and whenever we found the time in between the songwriting of the album after albums after Nightfall and Middle Earth, we invented the one or the other song for this particular orchestral project, and all in a sudden we have had like 10 or 12 songs ready to go, and then we started chasing for the right orchestra to work with, and even that took like 4 or 5 years before we really found the right people. And this has been the case when we did the At the Edge of Time album. There was two songs on the album which had a very strong orchestral side as well, and these were Sacred and with Wheel of Time, and there was a need for an orchestra, and we back then went to Prague and did some rehearsals with the Czech Republic Orchestra, and they basically did such a great job, so we decided that they would be the right people to do the orchestral album with. And ever since, we from time to time go to Prague and keep on working on these particular songs, and so far we have finalized 7 songs orchestral wise.
Now, are these brand new songs? These aren't like Blind Guardian songs with an orchestra. These are brand new tracks that you've written for this album, correct?
Yeah, they are freestyled, composed, and they carry the same Blind Guardian handwriting, but so far there is no metal instrument involved in it. It basically would be just orchestra and me singing. We may find the time later on and do some heavy orchestration for this as well, but they are all freestyle songs and have never been released so far.
Now, Blind Guardian is a band that, of course, you know, every album sounds different, but there are still some of the trademark sounds of this band, you know, some of the layered vocals and things like that. But talking about the upcoming record you're about to record, the songs on this coming record, how do they differ from, say, some of the past material? How would you compare this upcoming record to your past catalog?
Well, I mean, it's one of our strongest goals to be different from album to album and come up with new elements. I think we think that this is the our faith is that this is the essential element in music and in, you know, progression in general. So we would be very disappointed if there weren't any changes. So there certainly will be a lot of different things to discover on the next Blind Guardian album as well. far, the songwriting sounds more modern than At the Edge of Time, I would say. It still contains the essential roots of Blind Guardian, no doubt about that, but it has that, I would say, A Night at the Opera, a twist in the myth attitude so far, and this might change during the next songs, but right now I would say it will be a fairly aggressive and modern album.
Well, let's talk a bit about this box set, A Traveler's Guide to Time and Space, because I want to tell you that I really enjoyed the remixes, and when this first came out, and everybody's skeptical, oh, I've got to remix the albums, are you going to ruin them? And, you know, to me, I thought the remixes turned out pretty good. I really like what was done with the set. And for a fan like myself that really loves your band, you know, I thought it was amazing that, you know, that you put out a set like this. And talk about this. How did the idea come about to do a box set like this? And why did you decide to remix and remaster some of these albums?
The main reason for us to do it was the 25th anniversary. We got a request from the record company about a particular box like this for ages already. So EMI was ready to do it like 5 years ago, for example. But we just felt the time wasn't right. But, you know, if you look back to a career lasting for 25 years, it definitely makes sense to come up with such a big project, and of course we were also looking for the right time period, because we knew the frame to do something like this would be very demanding, and apart from the fact that we have had this 25th anniversary last year, it basically has been the first time we ever in our career could think about something like this, because we decided to make a slightly bigger break in between touring and starting of new songwriting. So this all came together perfectly well, and we also had enough ideas to maintain a slightly different approach to most of the albums we worked on. So there was a bunch of stuff to do, and we knew it would take a lot of time, and we had the right ideas to do so. So everything was pretty accurate for this particular album, or for this particular box.
Now, you went back with some of these older records, and you gave them a different sound. You remixed them, and why did you decide to do this?
Because I said we had the idea of featuring these particular albums in a slightly different way. It was obvious that there were some things which could be featured differently and still would not spoil the song. That was something very important for us. We knew that even though the mixing or the mixes back in the 90s and 80s have been really cool, there was a chance for us to improve that by giving justice to the digital world which we're living in nowadays. When we did all the albums up to Somewhere Far Beyond, everything was mixed analog and for vinyl. So basically it was obvious that with just a few little adjustments, we would be able to improve these mixing to, you know, to the way the hi-fi world does work nowadays.
Now, the album that you remixed in this record, the one that I thought benefited the most and sounded the best out of all of them, you know, in my opinion, that a record that I thought needed a remix really bad, in my book, because in my opinion, as a fan, I wasn't as happy with, but I really love the remix you did with A Night at the Opera. I thought that record came out unbelievably awesome, and talk about remixing that record a little bit.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear this, because, of course, this was one of the bigger challenges in general, because The Night at the Opera has been produced 10 years ago, and basically we did this album in a almost similar technical environment, so this was kind of more risky than all the other albums. But on the other hand, there were so many discussions about this album, and we knew that there is far more potential in the album than many people discovered back in 2002 when the album has been released. So we had a lot of basic discussions how to reproduce this one more precisely so it would be easier to comprehend for people. And therefore we stole a little of the concept we worked with on the At the Edge of Time album, where we decided that a sort of red line mixing and production would comfort the song far more. And the same we did with The Night at the Opera in comparison to what we did in 2002. We just, you know, gave justice to everything, but featured the vocals a little different. There is a little more the approach of lead vocal in comparison to what you can listen to on the original mixing. And as well, we try to be more precise in terms of aggression, so that the album lost a little of its technical progression, but gained a little of a pure heavy aggression.
Now, the next two records that I'm going to talk about here are the ones that I really, really liked a lot, along with Night at the Opera. I thought that the mix on Imaginations from the Other Side and Nightfall Middle Earth, the remixes, sounded amazing. And it's almost like with the last three records, you know, Night at the Opera, Nightfall, and Imaginations, they got a little bit heavier. You brought the drums out more. And talk about Nightfall especially, because it's such a popular album for you.
Yeah, it is a very popular album, and I'm just a little surprised that you mentioned these three albums, which, you know, were the more difficult ones for us to finalize in a new frame of mixing. Basically, Flemming Rasmussen did a great job on Imaginations and on Nightfall, but in both cases, he designed a very special world, which is pretty much connected to the 90s more than even the early albums which Kalle Trapp has produced. And when we started working on these two albums, Imaginations and Nightfall, it became obvious that there were a lot of tiny little special things which Flemming has woven in, and you could not really get rid of them. You had to, you know, play around them. So what we did on Nightfall and Imaginations was more building up on what already has been maintained by Flemming. And the only thing which Charlie really could do different was giving them the a modern approach. So it was the more the opposite way of thinking in terms of, in comparison to A Night at the Opera. A Night at the Opera, we tried to produce in a more, or try to mix in a more old-style way, while Nightfall and Imaginations has been treated more in a modern way. That was the only difference, basically, and it gives a different approach to the two albums, especially Nightfall, I would say, because it has that, yeah, that medieval, gothic attitude when you listen to the original, and with the new mixing, it somehow still keeps these elements, but has that more 21st century sound, and that's by surprise of everyone, works perfectly. perfectly well.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing that's great, is that Imagination's Nightfall and A Night at the Opera, it's like you brought out all the instruments. Not only do the albums sound better, in my opinion, but everything is a lot clearer. I mean, you can hear the instruments are all more. It's like, how do I describe this? you know, everything's brought out more. You can hear everything, and not only that, but the albums sound a lot heavier. You brought out the bass drums a lot more, and the drums, etc., sound a lot better. Which obviously the drums are very tricky, but these three records sounded amazing in a set.
I'm happy to hear that, and I would guess this was partly easy to maintain in terms of guitars, because you can do a lot of adjustments, you know, nowadays in terms of switching the sounds a little bit here and there, but it becomes more and more difficult with regards to drums, because they, you know, once they are recorded and if something is added, it is very difficult to get rid of it, and somehow Charlie seemed to find a good way to do so, because it was not easy, I remember, and we have had a lot of discussions, and we at parts have been concerned that we would end up too close to the originals, because as said, Fleming has a very strong handwriting, and everything was done for a reason back then already, so the opportunities in first case has been very limited, and it took a while until we found the right direction to give them this modern feeling. And as said, there are ways to do so with vocals or with rhythm guitars, but it's very, very difficult when it comes to drums.
Yeah, drums are always the biggest challenge.
Yeah, they are the biggest challenge, of course, and they are the fundament of each album, so whenever we do a recording, the highest attention when it comes to sounds, of course, will be given to the drums. But, yeah, you never know how the final result really will comes along. And we're just happy that it worked so well with these two albums in both cases, because we still love the Fleming Rasmussen productions. It's different when I listen to Somewhere Out Here from the Twilight World. I can, you know, I can really sense that everything we have done back then has been done in a limited time frame, and has been done for vinyl, which, you know, has completely different demands than compact disc productions. And so we have been really convinced about these first four albums always. You know, there was never a question that we could not come up with something very special. But with the new albums, it's kind of tricky for us.
So for the albums Tales from the Twilight World and Somewhere Far Beyond, were those records, those older records, easier for you to do the remix on than, say, the later ones?
Yeah, I would say so, because, as mentioned before, they have been done for vinyl, and this is a completely different world, so you have a completely different dynamic range which you can please once you know, do the remix things and do everything for the digital world. And whenever I was listening to Somewhere or Tales on CD, I could figure that there were some high cuts, some low cuts, and it was never really joyful for me to listen to these albums. It's different when you listen to the vinyl versions. They sound fine because these albums have been produced for vinyl and not for CD. And therefore, it has been far easier. But of course, when you listen back to the recordings themselves, to the single tracks, you are more limited in the treatment which you can work with a single instruments, etc., because the recording facilities back then, they have been far weaker, and therefore the sounding is limited. But on the other hand, with nowadays technology, you can, you know, gain it up a little bit, and you on the other hand, will win a lot.
Well, the first couple Blind Guardian albums themselves, I mean, they've, you know, they're more like speed metal records. In fact, they're kind of like a speed metal, power metal type thing that was going on at the time. But then something changed. You know, it was like when you went from, say, Foul of the Blind to Tales from the Twilight World, it was the beginning of what your sound is today. And you went from being just like a traditional speed metal band to a band with a lot of intricate songs and, you know, different lyrics, and the songwriting just changed for the better. And, you know, what was it like transitioning from Foul of the Blind to Tales from the Twilight World?
Well, we do, basically, we always did some of the songs when we play live, you know, even nowadays, there's a song like Banish or Valhalla, which will be played not every evening, but constantly. So we never really lost view on any of the albums, and I agree there, you can figure that the band has evolved from album to album, and I agree that especially Battalions and Follow are definite speed metal albums, and that our style has been designed after the third album. But still, if I listen to Battalions or Follow the Blind, I can figure that this is Blind Guardian, and this has never changed. I see similarities between Follow the Blind and Battalions of Fear and At the Edge of Time. So for us, the difference might not be as big. Of course, sometimes you are surprised, or we are surprised about several things with regard to songwriting, which we preferred back in the 80s in comparison to what we prefer nowadays. But I more or less understand everything we have done back then, and still have a very comfortable feeling when I listen to, let's say, Majesty or Run for the Night. And I am really surprised to see that we already recognized that progression would be important in between Battalions and Follow the Blind, because I think there's a drastic change already to be recognized if you listen to these two albums, while Battalions of Fear is a pure speed metal album with a lot of links to Halloween or Iron Maiden. I would say Follow the Blind contains so many thrash metal elements that this is a very surprising fact in the history of Blind Guardian.
Now, after 25 years, did you think you would still be doing this?
We could partly do some of the songs, but a whole album, I would doubt that we would be able to come up with a constant Battalions of Follow the Blind sounding album. That's impossible. The mentality has changed, and progression and progressive music has become more important, the orchestration has become more important, and these are all things which we really love in music, and I would really, really regret if there were an album only containing, let's say, thrash sounds like we have had on Follow the Blind. And I also could not imagine us coming up with two cover versions on a regular album.
Well, I was more thinking, did you think you'd be making music like this and doing this after 25 years?
Well, you mean when we did it? Or?
Yeah, like when you started out, did you think that, you know, 25 years later, I'm going to be, you know, still doing what I'm doing and making music? And
we never thought about time, to be honest. We knew from the beginning that we would become a successful band. There was no doubt about that. And we knew that we had talent, but I would not have thought about a time frame of 10 years. I thought we would release an album every year, which we did with the first three albums, but it became too difficult after Tales from the Twilight World already. I didn't have any idea about time back then, and I would say no one in the band did. We just enjoyed the moment, and basically this is still the same nowadays. Whenever we start really talking about music or doing music, you don't think about any time frame. But, you know, becoming old over the years, at least you get an idea about time. So now I start thinking about, you know, how will it be if I, you know, continue making this music for another 20 years? Then I'm 66, and this sounds somehow bizarre. Not impossible, but bizarre. And yeah, now I think a little more about the span in between, but back then, no one of us really had any idea. And if I'm on stage and play a song like Valhalla, I feel the same energy I did back then. And it's not a cheesy feeling or anything to play these songs, because I still enjoy what we are doing, and I still enjoy the old songs. Of course, I would prefer Wheel of Time in comparison to Majesty, but I can feel the magic in Majesty myself, so I have no problems in playing this song. I would not think that the Stones do have a problem in playing Satisfaction still nowadays.
Blind Guardians had very few lineup changes, and the music business is a very, very difficult thing. It's a very brutal business, but you guys seem to keep going, and you guys seem to be successful. And what has kept you all together for all these years, and what's kept you all going?
I was thinking about that many, many times myself. I think it's a real close friendship. Even with Toman, who has left the band, there still is a close relationship. And maybe that's one of the secrets, that there is a deeper understanding of music and of relationship in between all the members. There is a high acceptance and respect for everyone in the band. But it's also based probably on the region we are from, because people here, they are, you know, they are loyal, and they are very down-to-earth people, and they basically, and probably that's the quality we have gained as well, they are no dreamers. I mean, whatever the people go through here, they are very realistic, and we all in the band are very realistic people as well, so we don't see a bigger reason for a lineup change.
Probably my favorite, one of my favorite musicians, if not my favorite composer of songs, as you might want to put it, is Ian Lucassen from Arion. He's one of my favorite musicians, and you worked with him on the last Arion album, and I thought your performance with him was great, and talk about working with him.
Well, Ian is a very gifted and talented musician and a very nice person. He has been one of the songwriters which really provided me with music which was designed for me. Basically, I would say in 90% of all cases, no matter with which musician you work with, and even if you're invited into any project situation or cooperation, the people provide you with music which they have in mind, and they, you know, they just give it to you, and whatever you are able to deliver will be fine for them. But Ian has been the only one so far which, you know, I would say has really thought about, you you know, this is Hansi Kirsch of Blind Guardian. He's doing multi-layered vocals, so I feature him in a multi-layered style, for example. Mm. And this could be the right lines for him. This could be the right lyrics for him. So he has been probably the most professional artist I've worked with. And apart from that fact, he's a really nice guy.
You have the trademark layered vocals, and was Queen a huge influence on you, Hansi? I mean, were they a big band for you?
Yeah, partly, maybe. But in general, it is based on the songwriting and on what I am provided with by mostly Andre. His style of songwriting is multi-layered already, and when I get something which, you know, is heavily orchestrated, I sometimes don't see another chance but doing these multi-layered vocals, and by that it became a certain stylistic mean of myself. And even when I work with John Schaefer, for example, for the Demons and Wizards stuff, I kept that. So, well, it became something natural for me without thinking about it. But basically, it is something I liked in Queen music. But when it comes to Blind Guardian or any project I'm involved, it basically is more related to the music which I have to deal with.
Now, speaking of John Schaefer, and I was going to bring this up earlier in the interview, but I forgot to, but, you know, John Schaefer is one of those guys I've had on my show that I've had the utmost respect for over the years, and I remember Iced Earth coming here to Cleveland, and, like, six people showing up to see them back when, the Dark Saga had come out, and I remember him giving me a double CD copy of Days of Purgatory. But over the years of having him on my show, he's just one of the most honest, down-to-earth people that I think I've ever met. Straightforward. You always know what you're going to get from John, and you always know where you stand with him. And I really respect a person that's as honest as he is. And you know, you became really good friends with him, you know, over 20 years ago. And talk about that. How'd you end up meeting John and developing the friendship that you have with him?
Well, we first met in a German heavy metal club, and it was a very brief meeting. I think we both felt a certain sympathy. That was short before we did the first European tour together. On this tour, the first day, we started drinking, we started talking, and we went through a lot of catastrophes during this first alliance, but we never lost the passion in, you know, playing this shows, and we never lost the passion for each other. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, it was magic. It was chemistry. Everyone in Iced Earth loved everyone in Blind Guardian and the other way around. It was, you know, it was a 10-day hell-raising party, or 20 days, I can't even remember, hell-raising party. And ever since, we have a very close relationship. As you said, he's the most honest person you can imagine, but he's also the most loyal person you can imagine. If he considers you a friend, you will be his friend forever, and he will never let you down, and I admire him a lot.
You know, I agree, because he's one of those people that he you could see that determination and fire and the passion of what he does. And I'll be honest with you, I think that the last album, Dystopia, I thought was an outstanding record.
Yeah, it's a beautiful album. I like most of the albums. There are some better and some weaker, but that's, you know, that's normal. That's something you cannot avoid, whoever you are. I mean, there will be albums which are spectacular, and some will be just good, you know. But Dystopia is a great album. Stu is a perfect vocalist for his stuff. I've spoken to Tom some days ago, and he mentioned the same, because he's a big Matthew Barlow fan, and he also loves Ripper Owens a lot. And he said, well, Stu combines the best of both worlds, so he is one of the best imagine, maybe the best.
I would totally agree with that, because that was my assessment when the album came out a couple years ago. So I'm totally agreement. You know, the thing that's funny about, you know, metal music, it seems like a lot of these bands, especially bands that were, and I don't know what you really grew up on, but it seems like there's a lot of really good bands, like especially like thrash metal bands, really just kind of making a comeback a little bit, it almost seems like. So, I don't know. That's just my thing. But a lot of bands are really putting out these good records that are coming back. And, you know, why do you think that is? Why do you think a lot of bands are just coming back from, you know, the dead, I guess? You might want to say.
From the dead. I have no idea. I think it's probably a cycle thing, because, you know, trends come and go, and certain bands, they are sort of trendy, and when they feel that they are trendy again, then they feel a new strength, and with a new strength there comes a sort of renaissance feeling,
mm-hmm.
and with that they are able to maintain something very, very special, like, you know, like we call it second spring. I don't know if you have a similar meaning, you know, if a sort of revival, you can say.
Mm-hmm.
These bands, they really feel the spirit of their early days again because of their newborn popularity, and then they come up with great albums. It's a blessing, it's a good thing, but I have no explanation why this is really happening.
Well, I'll give you a good example of a band that I'm referring to. You know, the band Satan, who you did a cover from, that song Trial by Fire. You know, they put a new album out, which I really like. And it's funny because I interviewed Steve Ramsey and from Satan on my show. And he talked about playing on stage with you guys when he was with Skyclad. But, you know, Trial by Fire and that whole Courtney Act album was a little more progressive than a lot of the new wave of British heavy metal stuff at the time. There's really nobody out of that core band's writing stuff like they did, and I always thought they were a great band, and, you know, they put out a really, really good album.
Yeah, definitely. I always liked the albums, all the stuff they have done, and I have also been, and I am a great Skyclad fan, so I'm happy to hear that the Satan guys are around again. Well, I think Satan is one of these underrated bands, and one of these new wave of British heavy metal talents which never really got the success they deserved, mm-hmm. that's for sure. And I believe their songwriting, especially the one on Caught in the Act, has been very, very important for the way we started our songwriting with, and they have been role models in that particular case. So I'm really, really happy that they have the chance to, you know, do new material nowadays. Even though I have to admit that I haven't heard anything they did so far, but I'm sure if they made the step back, then it will be something spectacular.
Now, over the past 25 years, you've accomplished a lot, and you've had a very long, very good career in the music business, and, you know, what are some of the things, Hansi, that you're the most proud of accomplishing over the course of the last 25 years?
Album-wise, I would still say my favorite Blind Guardian album would be Nightfall in Middle Earth, and I hope that we will be able to do something even better than this milestone from my point of view. I'm proud of basically everything we have accomplished so far. I'm proud of, you know, having made people so happy over the years. I'm proud of, you know, becoming a part of the metal scene and being a recognized person in the metal scene. If there would be a certain event or something I had to name, it would be the Blind Guardian Festival, which I'm still absolutely proud about. And I'm just anxious to see how people will react on the orchestral album. You know, I think this is something really will feature the name Blind Guardian in a different way, and people will recognize how special we are. And of course, working on this project for more than 15 years and releasing it sooner or later is something which makes me proud in advance.
Well, Hansi, for my last question for you, any last words to say to the fans that are going to be checking out this interview on my show and, of course, later on the website?
Well, keep on supporting us. That's probably the most important thing. Don't forget us. I know it sometimes takes a while until we come back with a new album, but you can expect nothing but